Really, the update on the injuries, Eric Decker's knee is just a sprain, so he'll be day-to-day, so that was actually good news, and that's kind of all the updates I have for you as far as injuries.
Did you have any flashbacks to Steve Smith's 69-yarder at St. Louis when Demaryius caught the...
No, I mean, I remember the play, obviously, but I think that was in the second overtime. But, you know, obviously this was a big play, and that was the one I was focused on.
You're an accomplished defensive coach in the NFL. Based on what you saw offensively from your team yesterday, the balance, maybe a new element of unpredictability, how does that affect teams trying to figure out how to defend your offense in the weeks to come?
I'm not really sure what you're asking. Are you asking me about the offense or the defense?
No, from the perspective of a defensive coach who has to play against and develop a game plan for an offense he saw do different things for maybe the first time, at least execute them as well as you did yesterday. What problems does that cause in terms of unpredictability?
Well, I think, you know, as I've said many times, when we made the adjustments or the tweaks to our offense, you know, it's football's football. And, you know, they play football at a pretty high level in college, and there's been, you know, some very successful, productive offenses in this type of offense. It's a little unique to the National Football League. However, having that guy as a run threat is not the first time it's ever happened. I mean, we competed against Michael Vick for years there in Atlanta, and it presents problems. And so, you know, we've had different approaches. You know, our opponent this week, we played earlier in the season, and, you know, they had their approach, and obviously the Steelers had a different approach, like everybody. You know, so it's it presents problems, but it's unique to whoever's calling the defenses how they defend it.
Coach, Demaryius was just out here talking, and he described when he first got hurt that they had told him, the doctor, that it might be an 8 to 12 months injury. When were you confident that he could play? Because, I mean, obviously in training camp, he was watching the meetings, but he really wasn't doing anything.
Well, you know, with the lockout and whatnot, you know, it was a little bit harder because there wasn't contact. You know, well, there wasn't contact allowed with our medical people and players. So, you know, we were a little bit in the dark as to how that rehab was going. Once we were able to have contact with the players, you know, he was way ahead of schedule. In fact, he was on PUP, and there was discussion about you know, him being on PUP to start the season, and as we got through training camp, we actually accelerated that and kept him on the 53. Unfortunately, he had another injury to his finger, and that was a bit of a setback. So, but he's done a really good job, and, you know, he's improved every week, really, you know, since we have him active.
Was it tough to gauge what kind of player you were getting? Because, like you said, you were new. There was no contact in the offseason. He just had film to watch. In his first season, he didn't play a whole bunch. And then he doesn't play in training camp. Then he hurts his finger the first day. Did you know what you were getting?
You know, I think, you know, just at my old team, we you know, you look at the draft, and we were aware of his abilities. You know, so you kind of knew, but not really. You know what I mean? Not here with the Denver Broncos. And, you know, he started to do it in practice. He had flashes, and then unfortunately he got hurt. We're just glad he's healthy now.
Given what Tebow did yesterday, how differently can you approach your game plan as far as a passing game and feeling comfortable being aggressive in that regard?
Well, I think, you know, we've been aggressive, and there wasn't really much different other than we executed better. More than any new state-of-the-art plays or you know, this thing's about players making plays when you have success. And we did it better yesterday than we did it the week before. So that's why you practice, that's why you play the game. And, you know, we had confidence that we could get better passing the ball, and it was going to be paramount for us to go much further in this tournament.
John, you've been through several playoff runs, and you've got a lot of young guys who – it was their first game yesterday. Is there a message that either you gave to him now or Ken gave to him? Because, you know, the mountains just keep getting bigger. A message that you could give to these guys to take into a place like New England?
Well, I think, you know, you learned, you know, with each game, and whether it was in the regular season, actually go back to preseason, regular season, now playoffs. You know, we do have a lot of veteran leadership. We have a lot of guys that are young and have not been there, but, you know, we've got some guys that have been there before and been around, and they've done a fantastic job in, you know, explaining to the young guys what it takes and the preparation part of it. And then you just go play the game. But I think the preparation is where, you know, you can step it up a notch and where some youthfulness would kind of hurt you if they don't understand that. And, you know, I think between our staff and our veteran leaders, you know, they've gotten that message across. And so, you know, just like even, you know, when we were on that run during the regular season, you know, every week's the bigger game. You know, and so in reality, that's not the case. It's the same game, but, you know, is your preparation is what has to pick up, and they understand that. That's right.
How do you meet in a situation as this with McDaniel now joining the Patriots and whatnot? How do you view this whole situation?
You know, I mean, we just played him a month ago, so I don't really view it much different. I don't know Josh very well. We have the same agent, or had the same agent. But other than that, you know, I'm not as familiar because I wasn't here, and so I'm not really that familiar.
Can there be any, you know, he obviously is an intimate knowledge of a lot of the key players on your roster. Can that be of any help, do you think, or is that overrated?
Well, I think, you know, when you do this for a living, you've got a pretty good idea of most of the players. You did them in college coming out, and you may have coached them before. You know, guys just move cities. You know, that's kind of what this league is.
You think it's okay, though?
Do I think what's okay?
That he should be allowed to leave one team and join another in the same season?
You know, I just stay in my lane. You know, other people make those rules.
You think the rules are okay?
I mean, it doesn't really matter what I think.
It's sort of an odd situation, though. I mean, he drafted several players who are now
former. I think, you know, again, I think a lot of people here drafted these players. I don't think one person did. I think that's the case no matter who it is.
But as a coach, you can surely appreciate the intimate knowledge a coach has of opposing players. You don't think it can play a significant role in a game like this?
You know, I mean, we're going to go play Carolina next year. I mean, I don't think that's going to be a huge advantage for me. Plus, their team's changed. So is ours. So I don't think it's a big deal.
The last time you guys played New England, it seemed like it was, especially for some of your young guys on defense, was maybe kind of a wake-up call, and Quentin and Raheem and maybe even Von Miller. Maybe not their best game. What do you think they learned from that experience that they can apply next time playing Tom?
Well, I think, you know, their tempo is a little bit different than some people. And so I think, you know, I don't know if it'll be an advantage, but I think they'll understand a little better about a fast tempo offense, a no huddle offense. And, you know, hopefully we can react better this time around than we did last time.
Can you talk a little bit about using Raphael Bush, not using Raheem Moore, and how Wesley didn't quite play as much for Joe Mays, that those sort of changes you guys made?
You know, again, we try to, you know, each one of these takes on a different personality, and you try to utilize the people on your 53-man roster or your 46 active day roster, you know, as it matches up with the opponent. And, you know, this week could be different yet, but we're just now getting kind of into it.
Coach, I don't know if the offensive line's got enough credit compared to where they were yesterday and all season.
You know, I think anytime you're, you know, top five in any area in this league, you know, it's a tribute to the players that do that. And I think our guys have been pretty solid all season long. You know, it was the first full game that we played without Chris Cooper. I think, you know, Russ Hochstein did a great job stepping in there, you know, as a full-time starter. So I think, you know, Dave Magazoo and, you know, their position coach and the O-line's done a very good job.
You talked a lot about Von Miller and how, you know, the hand affected him. Yesterday, he seemed to kind of be a little bit different player. Can you talk about, A, just how you thought he played yesterday, and B, like how you guys used him, moving him around a little bit yesterday?
Well, I think, you know, back to the, you know, each one of these takes on its own personality. I mean, it's you know, a little bit of that is kind of the plan, you know, how we did it, you know, how we utilized, whether it's Robert Ayers or Marcus Thomas or Vaughn. you know, how you match them up, kind of their strengths maybe versus an opponent's weakness. You know, that varies every week. And so not much different yesterday other than I thought we played, you know, more of a playoff tempo type of game.
What are the most challenging aspects of facing New England on the road on a short week when they've had a bye?
You know, I think everybody has byes. Everybody's dealt with that before. To me, it's not where, it's more who. And, they're a very good football team. They've got a lot of playoff experience. We will have to deal with crowd noise. That's always a little bit of an issue, but it won't be the first time this season we've had to do that. So, it'll be a huge challenge. And when you get to this point, you know, in the playoffs, it's kind of how it always is.
Is it hard to practice at their tempo?
No. I mean, it's all hard, but, it's something that we'll work hard at.
How will you deal with the crowd noise issue?
We've got a machine out there that makes a lot of noise.
We thought that was you.
Getting the ball snapped and getting people lined up right, and audibling and all that kind of stuff.
Well, pro football, that's kind of what we're expecting to do. So, we'll practice all week, just like I'm sure they will. And we'll practice with the noise box.
I can't tell if you think this job of yours is easy or hard.
I love doing it. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's, yeah. I like it.
You're not taking some days off.
You say you're a PE major. You tell us you're a PE major.
I was. You can check the records.
Don't deal with the psychology.
Check it.
But last year, last week, your team was
don't bring up last year. All right, man.
No.
You scared me there.
Yeah, I got you.
Go ahead.
Well, this kind of fits maybe. But last week, coming off the Kansas City game, the team was down, bummed for a couple days, and they gradually came up.
That's because we give them 48 hours, and then they got to get back to regular.
Well, and now this week the challenge will be, it's an exciting, high, euphoric type feeling. You might have to bring them down a little bit to get them. I mean, how do you got a theory, method on dealing with team mood, so to speak, during the week? Or you just let it happen, or massage it at all?
Our message a lot is be the same guy, all right? So try to keep an even keel. Don't get too high, don't get too low. You're never as bad as some people say you might be, or you're never as good as some people might say you might be. So just staying even keeled, I think is what we try to explain.